this scripture on my heart as we prepared this morning and we were in pre-service prayer. It was just that simple one, be still and know that I am God. And so often we just rush from one thing to the next. And God is just saying, would you be still this morning, church? Would you know that I am here? Would you acknowledge my presence this morning, my desire to work in your life? Amen. Do you receive that this morning, church? Does that resonate with anybody? Well, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and be seated. You've been standing for a while. I love the fact that, as Ed said last week, the presence of the Lord doesn't just stay here in this building, but goes with us. So can I encourage you to just take that word and that scripture, and even throughout the week, to make time to be still before the Lord and make time to wait for him. And we think of that, Acts chapter 2, they were waiting for the promise from the Lord. And so often we pray, God, would you do this? Would you speak to me? But I got like 1 minute, and then I'm off to the next thing. And so we just need to make time to wait. Amen? Well, we've been talking about salt and relating that to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And just a reminder that Matthew 5:13, I'm going to give that a try. We've had a few difficulties, but I know Terry will catch me up if we get behind. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And I believe that the Holy Spirit adds flavor to our lives. The Holy Spirit has power. We talked about the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses. And this is one part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I also believe that the Holy Spirit is in the business of molding us, of transforming us, and making us more like Jesus. There's something else also in the transforming business, and that is Plato. It's true. So, I have some with me. This is one ball of Plato. So, the Holy Spirit is in the transformation business. Plato, also in the transformation business. This here is the world's largest ball of Play-Doh, FYI. And it didn't look that big to me, but I think that's like a little pumpkin or squash in front of it. And so if you see it in relation to that, it takes on a new size. I didn't, have enough Play-Doh to make a ball that big, so hopefully you can all see this little one here. Also, just for those of you who are trivia-minded, this is a car made entirely of Play-Doh. Yeah, pretty cool, hey? Can you imagine doing that? Yeah. Now, some of you might be aware that there's a problem with Play-Doh. If you've had Play-Doh for a while, it begins to pick things up along the way. And so I have here another ball of Play-Doh. And this ball of Play-Doh went through life with me on Friday. This one here. So it's been to Starbucks. I went to Kimberly. I was spending some time with our children's Foursquare ministry director, and so her and I were trekking about doing things. And all along the way, this ball of Play-Doh picked up all kinds of nasty debris. And, you know, this to me is so indicative of my life. My life is like a ball of Play-Doh, and as I go about my week, as I go about my life, I pick up all kinds of debris along the way. And sometimes that debris can be sin. Sometimes it can be misconceptions. Sometimes it can be lies of the enemy. Sometimes strongholds, things that keep us stuck in a spot where we can't get free. Sometimes it could be damage or hurt, disappointment, bad habits, faulty theology, or flawed messages of the world. So we go through and we pick all of these things up. And if I sat down and tried to pick all of this stuff out, it would take me quite some time to do that. So this is life, and you might be able to relate to that. Maybe your ball of Play-Doh has more stuff than mine, but I think we're all about equal in that area. Romans 12:1 or 12 verse 2 says this, Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and perfect and pleasing. And we need transformation, church. That word transform in there means a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. This Play-Doh ball here requires a dramatic change in form or appearance. Nobody is going to really want to do a whole lot with this right now in its present state. The Greek word for transform is metamorphosis, and it's a change of the form or nature of a thing. It's a person or a person into a completely different one, changing a person into a completely different person by natural or supernatural means. I also like what it says here, process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form in two or more distinct stages. So we think of tadpoles, butterflies, dragonflies, they all go through that process of transformation from an immature stage to a more adult stage. We need transformation. We need transformation as individuals. We need transformation as a church because every one of us picks up stuff along the way. So what is the Holy Spirit's role in this and what is our role? Well, first I want to point out that that verse in Romans 12:2 says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So first of all, transformation is not self-help. How many of you made a New Year's resolution this year? Anybody? All right, so you have all caught on. Many of you have caught on to the challenge with New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made a New Year's resolution sometime in your past history? How many of you have kept those New Year's resolutions sometime in your past history? There's the problem, right? Self-help only goes so far. We need God to transform us. We need God to renew our minds. The Play-Doh ball is not self-cleaning. So if I leave this here and I walk away, I'm not going to come back 3 hours later and all the dirt's picked out and everything's made new again. It will never take the initiative to clean itself. And this is the case. I am the creator of this Play-Doh ball. It took me a lot of time while watching TV to form it into a ball, but I am its creator. So it is up to me to come and begin to pick out the debris and clean that up and make that into new, fresh Play-Doh. So letting the Holy Spirit transform us has to do with positioning ourselves. It has to do with willingness. So it's not us striving to be transformed. It's positioning ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. Psalm 139, 23 to 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David positioned himself to be transformed, to say, Holy Spirit, God, would you seek out anything, any debris I've picked up along the way, point it out to me so that we can deal with it. Another favorite verse that reflects this of mine is Psalm 19:12 to 13. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden sins. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. Some of you may have heard this story from the summer. This summer, Ed and I happened to notice in the other wing of the building this strange odor coming from the washrooms. And it was not a pleasant odor, so we were opening the windows, doing what we could. And eventually we said, okay, this isn't going away. Let's call in our plumber. So he came in and noticed that the pipes underneath the building in the main washrooms were so thin that his thumb almost went through it. Now, you can imagine that had we not explored it, had we not called somebody in to examine this, this would have resulted in a very disgusting mess. Ed's nodding over there like, yeah, just say it, disgusting mess. So our building needs regular examination, but as goes the external, so goes the internal. We as a church need the Holy Spirit to regularly examine us. We as individuals need the Holy Spirit to regularly examine us. The Holy Spirit is the one who identifies those problems and then renews us. So we need him to point out the pipes that aren't functioning properly, the debris that's maybe gotten buried so far inside of this that it can't even be seen anymore. Ephesians 4, 20-24 says, "But isn't that what you learned about Christ? Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." We position ourselves and we let the Holy Spirit do his work of examining us and bringing to light where the issues are. That's not our default, though, is it? That's not often what we normally do. It's like, oh, let's just cover up those issues. Let's just, you know, take just a little bit of Play-Doh, fold it over that little rock there, and hopefully it will just disappear and it won't affect me anymore, and I can just forget it's there. That's our default often. But the Holy Spirit is saying, no, bring those things into the light. Let me expose them. Let me deal with them. Let me remove it entirely. How do we respond then? So does that mean we don't play any part at all? We just kind of sit there and go, all right, Holy Spirit, let it happen and just fix it all for me and I can go about my merry way. We still need to respond. And that response could look like repentance. It could look like taking authority, spiritual authority, over something that's caused us to be stuck. It could be making course corrections. But we want to let the Holy Spirit guide our life. Course corrections needed there. Any of you get that? Yeah, it took me a minute. I don't know my right from my left. So let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other, so where you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So we need the Spirit to renew us. We need the Spirit's help to remove the debris that we've picked up along the way. We need to respond to the Spirit with repentance. We need to respond by taking authority over things that have caused us to become stuck. We need his transforming power. Romans 8, 6 says, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." So what's the result of Holy Spirit transformation? We get rid of all of this debris. This is a good thing. But what is the end result? One of those things is we experience freedom from strongholds. And a stronghold, again, is that thing that just causes us to be stuck. It's planted there by the enemy. It could be a lie of the enemy. It could be sin. And it's that thing that no matter how hard we try on our own to move past it, we just can't. We just can't. And so as we submit to the Holy Spirit's transforming power, he brings us freedom from those strongholds. He removes those things so that they no longer have an impact in our life. Eventually, if you tried to roll this somewhere, if it picked up enough debris, it wouldn't get very far. So he removes those things that hinder us, and Tara Lee talked about that through worship this morning. The other benefit is that the fruit of the Spirit is worked into our lives. So as we submit to the Holy Spirit's transforming powers, we position ourselves as we wait on him and say, examine us, and we come to a place of repentance and working through those things, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life. And there's a speaker way, way back, Greg Johnson, Foursquare guy when I was a youth, and he used to say, you never see a tree straining to bear fruit. So you don't see an apple tree standing out there, oh, I must make fruit. It's a part of what's worked in as it stays connected to the source of life, to water and nutrients, and it's healthy, then the fruit is produced. And so the fruit of the Spirit is worked into our lives as we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. And lastly, we become effective witnesses. So the flavor of the Holy Spirit is worked into our lives. And that's a flavor that people desire. It says in Acts 22:15, "For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you've seen and heard." And when we experience the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, when we experience his renewal, when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives, people notice that, right? People don't notice when we're walking around in the same manner as they are, perhaps bound, broken, stuck. It's like, oh, you're just like me. But when they see us walking around free with the fruit of the Spirit active in our lives, they begin to pay attention and begin to ask questions. Hey, what's going on there? How did you get through that difficult situation? Why don't you have all of this stuck to you? What's going on there? So another result of the Holy Spirit transformation, we get to be effective witnesses. 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18 says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." And this is something I believe we all desire as we walk with the Lord. Lord, make me more like you. We sang that, Lord, we want more of you to be transformed into his likeness. So this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. I know you just got down, right? And we're going to take some time to pray this morning. First of all, though, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we want to consistently do this. Sometimes we forget or that kind of a thing. But if you're here this morning, part of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to a place of salvation. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. And perhaps you're here this morning and you've not made a decision to follow Jesus. Or perhaps you've made a decision to follow him and you've walked away from that choice and made other choices. I just want to invite you, if you're here and you'd like to make a fresh new decision to follow the Lord, I'm just going to invite you to put up your hand. I'd love a chance to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? All right. The second part of this, and you feel free to open your eyes again, and the second part of this is I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do a transforming work, that some of you are in a place where you say, I need to be renewed. I've picked up a lot of stuff along the way, and I haven't been able to get rid of it, and I'm stuck. And perhaps you've carried it for a very long time, and you said, you know what? I've prayed for that before, and nothing's changed. It's not possible. It's too big. It's too buried. And I want to encourage you this morning that it's about positioning yourself. It's not about your own power and strength to be able to get rid of this debris. It's about positioning yourself and allowing God to do the work in you, allowing God to bring the renewal and the transformation. And so if you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, that's me. I need the Holy Spirit to do a transforming work in an area of my life. I want to pray with you, and I'm going to invite you to just bow your heads and close your eyes again just to maintain some privacy. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, that's me. I need the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in an area I need to be renewed. Would you just slip up your hand for me so we can pray? All right, I see those hands. Okay. Let's go ahead and just bring this before the Lord. God, we come before you and pray that you would search us. God, I realize just in this moment I need to put my hand up to you, Lord God, that I need you to search my heart. Lord, that I need you to examine me and remove, see if there's any wicked way in me, Lord God, and root that out. Lord, this morning, for those who've raised their hands, for those who haven't, Lord, our desire consistently is to be renewed by you. God, we don't want to be conformed to the thoughts and behaviors and patterns of this world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God, we want to be changed day by day more into your likeness. God, I pray specifically for those who've raised their hand. Lord, would you root out the debris that's been picked up? Would you root out in the power and the authority of Jesus' name any lies of the enemy? Would you root out any sin that has encumbered and bound and hindered these individuals in the name of Jesus? Would you do the work that needs to be done there? Would you make it final and root that out in the name of Jesus? God, would you root out any faulty theology, any misconceptions, bad messages the world has planted? Lord God, would you root those out in the mighty name of Jesus? Would you clear away the debris? Lord God, would you make us new? Lord, we thank you for your transforming power. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts of sin, that guides us, that leads us, that baptizes us in power. Lord, would you work your fruit in us? God, we want to be effective witnesses for you, Lord God. Lord, we want your flavor in our lives to impact our world. Oh God, would you do your work, transform and renew. Lord, would you consistently remind us to position ourselves before you. Lord, that a day would not go by where we don't come to your feet and say, God, would you search our hearts? Would you renew us? Lord, we just thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. In your name, amen. Well, would you go ahead and stand? We're just going to close with a song, and then I'll dismiss you.